Welcome back. The sixth edition of AfriAsia's Bank's South African Wealth Report indicates that the country experienced its poorest year last year, highlighting that the country's two main wealth markets, Joburg and Cape Town, have performed relatively poorly over the past 10 years. Colin Grieve, who is the Chief Representative Officer at AfriAsia Bank, joins us in studio to discuss the trends on the report and perhaps what it suggests for the country's wealth going forward. Thank you so much for your time, Colin.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
So perhaps before we even get to some of the key highlights, when we talk about wealth, how do we define it? What does it mean?
In aggregate, the wealth in an economy is the total value of equities, of real estate, of cash and bonds. We believe, New World Wealth, our researchers believe this is a better indicator of an economy's performance as opposed to just straight GDP, due to the fact that there are some issues with GDP. For instance, in GDP, a large amount of the GDP flows towards the government, and that has nothing to do with private wealth creation. So there are various factors that lead us to believe that measuring an economy's, a country's wealth is a better indicator.
All right. So let's talk about some of the key highlights that stood out for you.
Sure. Over the past 10 years, South Africa's total wealth has only grown by 13% in USD terms. And I think it's important to highlight that because it makes everything look very, very modest on account of the fact that the rand has depreciated from about 940 to 1440 in the past 10 years. And that obviously has an impact when you're measuring something in USD. The stock exchange, for instance, is only up 42% in the past 10 years. In USD terms again, and the real estate sector is down about 5% again in USD terms. So it's not, like you said earlier, it's not a tremendous performance, but we are optimistic. We believe that in the next 10 years, the wealth in this country could grow by as much as 30%.
Right. So some of the things that I highlighted in my intro was looking at Johannesburg and Cape Town when you look at the concentration of wealth. Take us through some of the findings when it comes to the cities in which high net worth individuals live.
Sure. Well, Johannesburg has always been the wealthiest city. In fact, it's the total wealth of Johannesburg, the number of multimillionaires, the number of high net worth individuals is double that of the next city, which is Cape Town, and probably about five times the number of the next city, next wealthiest city, which is the Durban, Ballito, Mhlanga area. As far as highlights are concerned, in the last 10 years, we've seen greater growth in wealth in the Durban, Mhlanga, Ballito area, as well as Franschhoek, the Garden Route. We attribute that to the migration of high net worth individuals, largely driven by retirement.
Yeah. So when we look at the sources of this wealth, I mean, in what sectors are most of these wealthy people associated in?
Well, in terms of employment, they're largely coming out of the legal and professional services industry. So that would be anything from a lawyer to a fund manager. Behind that, over the past 10 years, real estate the real estate industry has done very well, both in terms of developers and speculators. And then some way behind that, quite a far way behind that, is the ICT tech sector.
Right. And the review over the past 10 years, I mean, what sort of trends have you picked up? And I understand that AfriAsia, the actual company that did the report for your
New
team,
World Wealth, yes,
they've been working on it for, well, have been doing it for the past 6 years.
Yes.
In that sense, then, what sort of trends have you picked up when it comes to, I suppose, the behaviors of the wealth or the drivers of wealth for some of our high net worth individuals?
Well, the drivers of wealth are typically, if you look at the average asset allocation of a high net worth individual, a large chunk of that that wealth lies in real estate and in shares, equities.
Right.
And to that extent, there's been fluctuations over the years, but it still remains the biggest chunk, usually well over half of a high net worth individual's wealth. In the past 10 years, we've seen lessening of interest in the real estate sector. It's fallen in terms of high net worth individuals' asset allocation. And we attribute this to the fact that there are less people buying, for instance, second homes. Why is that? Skyrocketing utility bills, perception of the issues around redistribution of land without compensation. There's also been increasing transfer duties on luxury homes, and there's been visa restrictions for foreigners, which has probably taken some of the shine off the market. And also, of course, more very importantly, in the Western Cape, the water crisis that they had has probably impacted on people's consideration of buying a home in that region, because it's always internationally it's a very popular region to buy real estate.
The one aspect of the report that I found quite interesting, and we were talking about it a little bit off air, was ascertaining the middle class. And it highlights that it was quite difficult to be able to get a proper number, but the way they gauged it was in a kind of fun way.
Yes.
They looked at box office numbers, particularly for Star Wars 7, and I'm a Star Wars fan. The numbers for South Africa were very interesting in how they got that gauge versus the US or the UK.
Yeah, I think it's, as far as New World Wealth is concerned, it's probably something of a teaser, probably something that they're considering doing more research into, and they're just putting it out there as forthcoming attractions.
Right. Thank you so much for your time, Colin. Let's leave it there. That is Colin Grieve, who is the Chief Representative Officer at AfriAsia Bank.